Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Today's show is a mailbag, so check that out if you haven't already. We're binge dropping a bunch of shows. So in your feeds right now, you're going to have this podcast. You're going to have my chat with Trevor Magnotti about the NBA draft. And then later tomorrow, you're going to have our first show of April, Crazy That We're Already There, with Ian Levy from Fansided. So check all of those out wherever you are getting your podcasts. But today's show is a mailbag if you want to drop future questions in for the mailbag. Please do so at lockdowncavs@gmail.com or on Twitter at lockdowncavs. We got a couple after the bell, after we'd recorded. So if you have any of those for the future, though, please submit them. Please check out the Ineligible Man Downfield newsletter as well if you haven't already. That's all coming up today, though, on today's show. And without further ado, here we go.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the Q.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Come on!
All right, Evan, let's dive into this. Mailbag.
Let's
mailbag,
do it too.
Mailbag, mailbag. I forgot to pull the questions because I'm an idiot. Okay. First question comes from, and I'm leaving that in. First question comes from our friend of the pod, Jackson Flickinger, at @Akron_Jackson. And I'm going to cue you up in this one first.
Let's see.
How badly has the Drummond trade aged in just over a month?
I don't know. I still think it's kind of hard to give like a full context or maybe a full scope of the entire situation because this whole coronavirus thing shutting everything down. Like, same thing that you did for Jamie Bickerstaff. Like, yeah, the team was playing well under JB, but I think I'd like to have another a larger sample size to get my full opinion on it. But there's some good with Andre. Like, you can see some of the potential and why the Cavs may be traded for him and maybe banking on the fact that he is a younger all-star caliber player that fits into their timeline works. But at the same time, like, the frustrating things do rear their ugly head, like the three-point shooting and taking the ball off the court, the playmaking, and just, like, other stuff like that. Like, that is just genuinely just not fun to watch. So, like, it's kind of hard for me to give a full idea of it, but, like, able to look back at it, I'd still do it 10 times out of 10. Like, you're trading two expiring deals for a guy in Brandon Knight that you never play and a guy in John Henson who was putting up solid contributions but, you know, was oft injured with Cleveland for a expiring deal, which by all accounts what we heard is, you know, he's going to opt into his player option for $28 million. Andre Drummond, who is an all-star caliber player, like, yeah, you take that gamble 10 times out of 10. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I don't think there's really a good way to give a proper grade on, like, how this trade is affecting Cleveland, because this whole coronavirus shutdown just kind of made it impossible to do.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
No, I cut out there for a second. I don't know why. off to a good start. So here's my thing. I think I would do it 100 times. I would do it like 99 times out of 100. The concern I would have, and this is sort of unknowable now, is that number one, you have no financial flexibility next summer. And I don't buy the argument that, like, you should hoard cap space to throw an offer at Brandon Ingram because, like,
I think Brandon Ingram,
like, he's going back to New Orleans. He's going back to New Orleans.
Yeah, you know? David Griffin isn't a foolish man. I think Cleveland fans know that pretty well.
Yeah, so Dave, he's going to go back to New Orleans. You're not going to get him. There's no one else out there that I would really, really like to spend that much money on. That's just like a reality of the market. It's not a good free agency market. There are guys that I think are good, but there's no one that I'm like dying to blow the bank on if I'm Kobe Altman in the Cavs brain trust. When I look at what Drummond is, I have not enjoyed what he's done. And I think there is going to need to be some reining in on what he is. And certainly there is some of that in Detroit. But I think if you're looking at the Cavs and you're saying, like, they got this guy who's an all-star caliber talent, a hard guy to get your hands on in terms of what he can do. The size is very real. He has some limitations and whatever. Like, we can, those are just, he is sort of what he is. If you can get the best version of Drummond in it, or find a way to kind of get that, and JB can get to him, and you can kind of make him a lot threat, a little bit of posting up, and you cut out the threes, especially next season when, like, he's in your program, like, you kind of, things are theoretically more settled than they were when you just bring him in and he's a coaching change and everything like that. That would make me hopeful that you could get a better version of Drummond. And look, you could flip at the deadline. It's 1 year where you're still clearly going to be rebuilding. Next year is like not going to be. I don't think the Cavs are likely a playoff team next year. It's theoretically possible if a lot of things break correctly. It just seems unlikely to me. I think if you're just looking at the downside of it, it's really just like you ate a cap space and he doesn't fit. And if he doesn't fit and you need to just move on from him, I'm sure there will be a team next year that is just like, okay, our season has gone to the toilet right away. Like, we want to get up some money. We want to just spend, and we want to just see if we can make Andre Drummond work. I'm sure you could find a team that's willing to just match salary. Even if it's just like slightly salary, you can probably find a way to get off of him and do something else. Or you play out the season. It hopefully doesn't mess things up to a massive, massive degree. I don't think it would. And you just let him walk to the next summer, and then you're just sort of like, okay, well, okay, that's done with, and you wipe your hands clean and you move on.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, I know some people are like, well, the Cavs gave up a second-round pick for him. It was a second-round pick via the Golden State Warriors, a future second-round pick, mind you. So it's not like it's going to have a ton of value once that team's fully healthy again. So I'm not losing much sleep over that, like what the Cavs gave up in that trade. If, like, it doesn't work out, that's fine. But yeah, I think he's going to accept this player option whenever this offseason ends up happening. And the Cavs will have a better idea of what they do or don't have. And then maybe by the trade deadline next year, they are either inkling towards an extension at that point, because that's around the contract extension deadline as well. And they figure that out. And hopefully it's a team-friendly deal that doesn't make myself or plenty of others, like, when we're about the hair from spending too much money on a traditional dinosaur of a center. But, or it doesn't work out, and maybe, like you said, there's a team that wants to trade or clear their books a little bit, and they take on a fat contract with Andre Drummond, maybe see it works with him or not, and then, yeah, just wipe your hands of the situation. I don't think the Cavs really had much to lose in this trade, though. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Is there something about the Drummond experience that you have liked or disliked at this point? Well, I should say not dislike, because we've clearly said, like, there's all the shit we don't like.
I was going to say, yeah, like, I think we've been pretty clear on what we don't like.
Yeah, that was just bad on my part. But is there something about Drummond that you've liked so far?
I do like the rebounding, and I do sometimes like the playmaking and passing he does make, and, like, I do like some of what, maybe it's more so the potential of what he brings to the table, and the fact that, like, he is the first true defensive-minded center, like, size-wise at least, because Tristan is a defensive-minded center, but he's a smaller center, to say the least. But, like, I think that brings a certain level of excitement for me, and just makes it a lot more interesting and intriguing of a trade. But yeah, I just think it's, like, the potential of what he brings to the table, but I'm waiting to see if JB is able to tap into that with him, because he has sometimes, and there's other times where we get the bad Drummond experience, and this is kind of what Pistons fans warned us when the Cavs closed it to this deal. So what about you? What have you enjoyed with Andre versus what we clearly have disliked so far?
The games where we just see him, like, dunking and kind of doing, like, big man stuff, for lack of a better word, is just, like, really encouraging, and you're just like, yes, I'm very pro to just, like, seeing how this can play out and all that stuff. So that's, like, That's a thing I would like to kind of see more of. And I think I would like to just see him, you know, playing with Colin Sexton a little bit more. I think just the presence is certainly just kind of led to some weird lineups and stuff. So we'll kind of see. Some of it's going to work out, some of it won't. That's just sort of how something like this sort of does ultimately work out. And we'll kind of see where that ultimately goes, because I frankly have no idea how it's going to kind of work out. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, come back, talk a little bit more about some mailbag questions you guys have, and we'll be right back at this right after Lockdown Cavs.
Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker not your thing but still need a fix? They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right, they have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Don't even sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring your wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay you fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid.
Back here on Lockdown Cavs. Evan, what's our next question?
This is from Twitter sweetheart and associate editor of the Oconomowoc Express, I think is the player, the paper name, so Alex, don't crucify me on this one, but his Twitter handle is at Alex_Nemec, and he asked us, what do you guys currently miss about the about basketball? Is there a player you miss watching, or a playoff race you are upset is delayed, etc.? What about Chris? I'll let you kind of have the floor on this one as I get over me fumbling that tweet a little bit. So
no, it's okay. We're in off season podcasting form here. That's where we're at. Animal Crossing makes a boy, you know, a little tough. So my answer is kind of a duality of everything with the 8-seed race for the West, specifically with New Orleans and Memphis, and then also the Rookie of the Year thing between Ja and Zion, because when I think about everything going on there, and I think about like what the Spurs playoff run's probably coming to an end and all this stuff, and it's these two younger teams with stud players, dynamic stars, like it's everything you kind of want out of there. And I find just like the argument for the Rookie of the Year is sort of like relenting. I'm going to get to writing about this in Forbes in April, I think. But, you know, the only parallel we really have for the Rookie of the Year race is the year where Brogdon won and Embiid didn't because he played like 30-something games or just something stupid. But Embiid's like clearly the better guy. And I think Ja is like a different level of rookie than Brogdon was. I think the stats, based on my preliminary kind of deep diving, has borne that out. But Zion's incredible, and it's not going to surprise anybody if like in 5 years that Zion Williamson is just clearly the best player from this class. And, you know, him maybe not winning Rookie of the Year will just be like one of those like kind of weird things due to his injury situation. For me, when I just think about
It doesn't matter because Kevin Porter is the best rookie in this room.
Okay, Homer. I just wanted, for the record, if people saw the Field of the Sword Twitter account today and saw the Kevin Porter Jr. kissing the basketball tweet with the Dora or the DW from Dora meme with like her like staring longingly at something like through the fence. That was me. That was not Ryan. I actually did that one. I was the fresh content from you boy. But when I'm thinking about this, when I'm thinking about what I would say I sort of want from all of this and what I want from the season, I want resolution to that. And I just want to see what Ja and what Zion we're going to do. And even though I don't think either of those teams are beating the Lakers, I want to see one of those teams play LeBron in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would too. I think if I had to pick, I would probably pick. I'd pick New Orleans and maybe go up against the Lakers just for the storylines as well, because you get Anthony Davis, you know, going back to New Orleans for the playoffs. Like, that'd be kind of just a fun thing to just watch. I mean, as an outsider, maybe it's not as toxic as the guys who have to cover the Lakers and the Pelicans do more closely. Like, that'd be fun. And then you have like LeBron versus Zion, or you have the past and current versus what the future of basketball is. And like, that would be fun. And then also just more entertaining. But I think no matter who you slot in that final spot, whether it was Memphis, whether it's New Orleans, or even Portland or Sacramento, or hell, I mean, San Antonio mathematically wasn't eliminated by the time the season came to a sudden halt, but like, even if you throw them into the mix as well, like, I don't think any of them have a snowball's chance in hell against the Lakers just because of how locked and loaded and stacked they are. But I think the Pelicans would be a lot more fun to watch. But for me, and speaking of playoffs, just real wild, something real wild real quick. For those listening at home, the Cavs still haven't been technically mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but if the season were to resume. So isn't that something, Chris?
It's wild. The East is bad. That's what I have to say about that.
But for me, I think if I was like playoff racing, like, yeah, Chris makes a good point there. I think the Eastern Conference is just going to be largely unremarkable. But like, I would have been more excited to watch like teams getting geared up and getting ready. Like LeBron touched on this on his podcast with Channing and RJ and Allie Clifton, where like his body was starting around second or third base and head towards home, where he's getting ready to make that playoff run. Like, look at the East. You have teams like Milwaukee, who is super stacked and super loaded and could be arguably one of the greatest teams ever. I mean, before this stop, they had a home record of 28-3, which is absolutely bonkers, and they've only lost one division game, which is even crazier. Than like, Toronto is still legitimately a good team, and like, shout out to Nick Nurse and just like that culture that they've built up there. Like, that's super impressive. And then you look on the other side of things, like both teams in LA, legitimate title threats. The Denver Nuggets, like, are they just a regular season? Are they the Peyton Manning Indianapolis Colts of basketball? Like, are they really good in the regular season and just completely turn into a pumpkin in the playoffs? Or you have like the Thunder, who have like been a super fun surprise this year with Chris Paul just kind of having like a renaissance year. Like, kind of missing watching teams kind of get geared up and ready for that, and like, well, have the excitement built, and like, maybe there's some first round matchups I actually care about. But then, like, at least in terms of the Cavs, I just kind of like watching these young guys like learn and grow, and just especially Kevin Porter. Like, Larry Nance touched on it when we had him on last week, where like, Kevin's just clearly been like one of the more fun and dynamic players to watch, and like, we both agreed with him in that regard. It's just like, I miss that. I just kind of like watching like the Cavs just kind of like, you know, jockeying and positioning themselves for those lottery odds. I mean, granted, it's not a great draft lottery and great draft class this year, but like, it better have better odds than have worse odds. But I don't know. It's been tough without basketball. I'm like, sometimes I kind of like think about it just like later. I'm like, I don't know, there's nothing to watch tonight. Like, I guess I'll just keep something up on Netflix or HBO Go or Hulu or something just to like get through the night. But I'm like, I just miss being able to like tune in, whether it's in person, covering the game, like sitting in the press box, or just like tuning in on Fox Sports, listening to John Michael and Austin Carr give their color commentary for the game. Like, I just miss all of it. And kind of ready for sports to be back, and I understand why they're not rushing back, and by all means, they shouldn't rush back, but like, it's been boring for sure.
Yeah. Any other kind of random things you were looking forward to seeing? I have a couple small ones, but I'm going to let you go first.
No, I'll let you go first. I was dominating them like there.
All right, fine. I wanted to see how Victor Oladipo continued to look. I think him coming back is a lot of fun. I wanted to see if the Houston Rockets small ball stuff would continue to work. That was just kind of an ignoble thing for the Cavs. I wanted to see if we kept seeing that three big lineup. I think that was just going to kind of be really interesting to just kind of see how that sort of played out. And I think just evergreenly, I just wanted to know how the 76ers story was going to play out, because that is just the weirdest basketball team in recorded human history. They're up there with the Cavs from the LeBron era for just being bizarre in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I would have wanted to see that.
Yeah, I would too. And I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, I think I touched on a lot of stuff I just wish I could be seeing right now, but it's also weird to think, like, the Spurs playoff streak, like, that old joke saying, like, there's three certainties in life, death, taxes, and the Spurs winning 50 games. Like, mathematically, I don't think it's not possible for the Spurs to win 50 games this year, which is just weird to think, like, that's not going to happen now. And, like, I don't get me wrong, like, I have fun shooting the shit with Chris every night and just talking about random, like, Cavs trivia and, like, other things that we've been doing, like, but I do like missing having fresh content, too, to cover.
Oh, well, I would kill for, like, a real basketball game.
Yeah, so would I. Like, I appreciate the effort Fox Sports Ohio is making in showing old Cavs games from the season that, like, were
a win. I mean, they have 19 to pick from, so the pickings are slim, to say the least, but like, I appreciate them doing that, and it's kind of nice to like use it as an escape to watch it, and like, you can simulate seasons out, or like watch people streaming the seasons on 2K, and like other things like that, but that's just, I don't know. I miss having fresh content to, you know, just like dive into and really say like, oh, well, this is why Kevin Porter. I mean, he still is the best rookie in this draft class, but now I have more concrete evidence of like Kevin Porter is the best rookie in this draft class.
Right.
Hey, you don't see Zion and Ja playing Warzone and Fortnite with Dylan Windler now, do you?
No. Does Zion know who Dylan Windler is? I'm not sure.
Real gamers play with Dylan Windler, and Kevin Porter's a real gamer, according to Larry Nance. So Kevin Porter is a real gamer. So
yeah.
Check in, mate.
Boom. KBJ, Rookie of the Year. I would like basketball to be back. As we were recording this, I think Cavs-Suns was supposed to happen, which is like the, you know, one of the big bummers for us is just not, I think, being able to be. I like would kill to be in an arena right now.
Same here.
And that's not something. That's not something that I would like have wanted to. That's not something that I wish. That's not something I should say that I necessarily was like I took for granted, I should say.
No, and I guess my question for you before we really, really wrap this mother up: what do you think the NBA should do? I know LeBron suggested like 1 to 2 weeks of like a mini training camp just to help them get reacclimated.
That is going to be necessary. I 100% believe that.
I do too, but like, what do you think they'll do? Do you think they'll, like, we'll see the Cavs playing games at Cleveland Clinic Courts on live stream, or do you think they're going to have a tournament in Vegas or something?
I think you get some kind of neutral site tournament, and I think my preferred outcome is that, and then 30-team tournament. That gets us towards the finals, and maybe like the finals is like a best of five or something like that, and just do something unique for a very weird circumstance, and then move the season back to start later next year.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page on that.
Yeah, that's where I'd be at. Okay, one last break. We'll come back. One more Locked On Cavs mailbag question on this episode of Locked On Cavs.
To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com and discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy mom and dads, podcast hosts like Ty Windisch, first responders and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited-time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA.
All right, we're back here. Evan, we're going to take a last question here from friend of the program, Space Phone Mars on Twitter. Basically, it's this thing based on the community thing where it's like there's six different outcomes. I think it's the episode where Donald Glover like walks back in with the pizza and like everything's on fire and there's just the various mm-hmm. different outcomes. Mm-hmm. Because my computer's being a little slow here, just tell me the six players we're going to offer their outcomes. If they were the best Cav, just give me the list of six and we'll dive into all of them.
Sorry, John Bayline just blew the dust off his Twitter and he's live tweeting the Final Four game. So I have
unbelievable stuff from John.
He was making sure he was giving credit and kudos to the first responders and people who are working during this outbreak. Because, you know, John is one of those people who has to wear a mask and gloves on a day-to-day basis. But I can get the jokes off now. But anyways, so here's what the tweet says. Break out a die. So it's, Google's got a dice roller, I think.
Break out of dye-inducing communities remedial chaos theory. Each number corresponds to a timeline where one of the Cavs' young players is the best on the team. What's that timeline like? One is Colin Sexton, two is Darius Garland, three is Kevin Porter, four is Jetty Osmond, five is Dylan Windler, six is Larry Nance. Roll away and see who you get. So I'm going to roll a six-sided die. How many times should I roll it, Chris, before we talk about the first scenario?
Let's just do it one time. Roll it one time.
Okay. And the number is five, so that means Dylan Windler is the best player on the Cavs. What is that? What the hell is going on then? So let me hear your thoughts on this situation. What do you think's happened if Dylan Windler is the best player on the Cavs?
He took a lot of steroids. Three-point shooting becomes the most viable skill in the NBA, or like NBA points can now be done via like golf trick shots. You know?
Okay. Okay,
that's like, I just think something bizarre happens. That's no shit to Dylan, who I really wish would have got the play this season.
We just don't know what to
expect. Or he's just way better than we know. You know, it could just be one of those things where like the scouting process just really missed what Dylan Windler was, or he got like a lot better this past year. I don't know, but that would be, that's like a timeline where something crazy has just happened, or the Cavs, or he just improves, or the Cavs are just really, really bad one year, and he just happens to be like a 6-year vet who like is by default the best guy on a really shitty team.
Well, I'm gonna get crazier. So, the coronavirus is only the beginning, and the world is engulfed in a nuclear winter due to the nuclear war that breaks out between North Korea and the United States, because they did say that they have long-range multiple missile technology at this point, so maybe they'll hit us at some point, but who knows. But in that case, in order to keep people from going completely insane on being trapped inside for the rest of time, they start doing it. Basketball comes back as a 2K league, and that's when Dylan Windler becomes the best player because he, as I said, is the best gamer on the Cavs. So, checkmate, everyone else. Take that.
Give me that answer. Let's do two more of these.
All right, rolling again.
I'm scared. I'm scared for our future now, Evan. Thank you.
Well, Colin Sexton's the best one, so my Twitter mentions are happy. So we rolled a number one here. So Colin Sexton is the best player. I'll let you have the floor again so I can scheme up something worse for you.
So I'll say this. Colin Sexton was actually talked about on the Low Post podcast that came out today. It was him and David Thorpe. Today, as in Monday, March 30th. They were talking about most improved player candidates. Colin didn't make their final list, but he was like the last cut for Thorpe and got praised by Low. And I think if Colin Sexton's the best player, and I think this is right, and while I do not think they're similar as players, because Colin is a much better shooter than Russ, Zach pointed something out that I think can be true if it works out for the Cavs, although it appears to us have annoyed Kevin Love so far, that I think him just being not scared of anything or anyone and just like going for it all the time can be really, really galvanizing. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a version of Colin Sexton where they're the best player and they support him with a really like supporting cast that makes a lot of sense, and it all just kind of clicks in a certain way. And there's one guy who's maybe like the analytics guys and nerds say he's better than Sexton, but you know, like Sexton's kind of the leader of the team in some way or something like that. And then we get to a situation where they're like a sixth seed in the East, and Colin's just like putting up the best number of his career, and he's just kind of the engine of the whole team. And again, it's just they've built something really smart around him, and that's kind of the ceiling, I would think, of a team. If Colin's your best guy, I think that's like the ultimate best case scenario.
I think I agree with that in that regard. And I think maybe if you take examples from Oklahoma City post Kevin Durant, maybe even pre Paul George, maybe the Cavs are able to pull a player of that caliber, say Kevin Porter is at that point, like he's a good running mate with Russ before they just completely blow it apart. But like that, maybe you take examples from that, but like we touched on this before with like Isaiah Thomas, like Colin Sexton isn't a good defensive player, but he's better than Isaiah Thomas, obviously. But you put like a team that is like, you put a smart backcourt partner that is good defensively, like Avery Bradley was for IT, like you have that with Colin, like that's a good place to build off of. And then like you just build smart complementary pieces, maybe not like Kevin Love, like you get frustrated and he demands touches, but maybe you get a stretch forward player like that where you can add spacing to allow Sexton to probably thrive and dominate on both sides, or at least on the offensive side of the ball, and like, you know, just work as a pick and pop partner instead, just as a guy for Colin get his 10th or 11th assist every night. Like, I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I think, like, yeah, no, if you go around Colin as the team's best player going forward, maybe the ceiling at that point is at best a respectable second round exit, but you're never going to make like the conference finals on a consistent basis. Maybe you eke in every now and then as like a surprise team, but you're not a legitimate title threat. And let me just put a blanket statement on every player that is listed in this list. Like, I don't think if they're your best player, whether it's Colin Sexton or Garland or Porter or Jenny or Windler or Dance, like, you're not going to be a title team if you're like, that is your guy and you're building around him. But like, maybe you could build a respectable playoff team. And I think that is something good for the Cavs to strive for at this point, instead of just kind of middling through things until LeBron comes back and then just, you know, puts a fire under everybody's ass where they actually start putting an actual team together to win a championship. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think your scenario, if they took pages out of Oklahoma City and Boston's book, would make it just at least a fun, respectable team, and I think it works on paper.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, Evan, let's give us one more roll of the dice here, the die here, and we'll get out of here.
Okay. Rolling. Oh, baby. It's Cleveland Cavs Twitter's sweetheart, Kevin Porter Jr. If he's the best player on the team, that means we finally figured out a ceiling. So, Chris, tell me, what do you think Kevin Porter's ceiling is? Go ahead and put something on it.
This is rude of you to make me go first. I'll say this. If Kevin Porter is the best player on the team, I think there's a scenario where that is like, he's like a Joe Johnson level guy that's like really, really good, but is just going to kind of cap you in sort of like a mid-tier team. I don't think he can be or projects to be a guy that's going to like turn into like a Harden type where he can just kind of carry the whole offense on his own and just not get that. Later. You know what, Evan? You know what? I think he's going to – there's a non-zero chance he is going to be the best of the young guys they have on the roster. I think it's between him and Sexton, who I would say is the most – I'm most sure are going to end up being really, really good. We'll talk more about Garland this week with Ian Levy, which is a little plug, which I'm very excited to talk to Ian about him. But when I just look at what is going on with – KBJ, and when I think about where he could go, I think the best case for him is if he becomes the best guy and is like this dominant wing scorer, can defend and all this stuff, like maybe I think that can be a playoff team. But it requires him to evolve in ways that are going to take some time. So this is something that I think if it happens, it's like 5 years from now.
Well, you're just a hater, Mr. Manning, because clearly Kevin Porter is James Harden with a hitch and a shot on offense and Jimmy Butler on defense, according to my Twitter mentions, and a certain someone who will remain nameless because we don't name terrorists in this podcast, but that's what somebody else would say. But
this has been an all-time Evan is just like in
off the rail.
Yeah,
he's this off is the rails. This is what you get when you this is I really want to quote the Joker right now, but I won't. So you guys are getting what you deserve.
This is what I get.
We have to talk about that at some point. But
Once I'm more familiar with the world of Animal Crossing, we will.
I understand that. When you catch a coelacanth, you can talk to me. That's when you catch the rarest fish in the game, like I did last night, come and talk to me. But back to the topic on hand. Yeah, no, in all seriousness, I think a Joe Johnson type player is like a... That's an obtainable scenario for Kevin Porter for sure. I think that is definitely realistic and definitely plausible. And I think, like you said, between him and Sexton, they're the best two young prospects on Cleveland's roster at the moment. But obviously things can change based on how the draft shakes out over the next year or two. And it's going to take time for Kevin to really like find his niche and role overall, because he's not outstanding defensively if you look at advanced metrics. But like in terms of the eye test alone and like just the fact that he just kind of rises up to every opportunity to challenge, like you find that endearing, and I think that's definitely fun in that regard. But again, I don't think any player on Cleveland's roster is going to make them a title threat. Maybe if Kevin Porter for some reason taps into like potential that we've never seen, it's
like he gets like all the infinity gems, like he gets the infinity gauntlet, and it's just like I am inevitable, but it's like winning NBA titles instead of universe-wide genocide. Like that's the scenario.
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know, I feel like people...
You're welcome, Evan. That's how it feels to have your brain broken.
Fair, but, like, I'm trying to workshop this joke in my head right now without seeming insensitive.
I feel like some people would be as disappointed if Kevin Porter were to wipe out half the universe and if Cleveland was a lock to win the championship for at least the next 5 or 6 years. So, I don't know. If you think people thought we were bad when LeBron was here, I think we'd be even more insufferable if Kevin Porter Jr. suddenly became the god of the NBA and just completely bent people over a barrel. But I don't know. I think if Kevin Porter is Cleveland's best player, I think it just means kudos to Kobe Altman and his staff. They have an eye for talent. They're able to get a player at 30th overall in trade cash and 4 second-round picks for that, you know, clearly worked out. And hopefully there's some just really strong. That means maybe Dylan Windler works. I think Dylan Windler operates really well just from what he hypothetically brings to the table, because we haven't seen Dylan Windler, period, other than the summer league play with quote-unquote NBA-caliber players. I mean, he played against plenty of them, but either way, like, that's definitely a scenario, but I don't know. I'm trying to be cute and funny here, but I just don't think any of these players that were listed just really pushes Cleveland over the edge to win a championship. But at least people can say in the reviews that I held Chris accountable this time on trying to cap Kevin Porter's ceiling like Trevor did, instead of me just kind of just agreeing because Trevor knows what he's talking about. So I'm not saying Chris doesn't, but
Trevor's smart me with that stuff. But I'm all in on KPJ. I own a lot of KPJ stock if I could.
You got a t-shirt deal for him, so I'd hope you have a stock.
Well, that's not for him. It's really just me trying to make some money. It didn't really work out. Capitalism, am I right? All right, that's going to be it on this episode. Maybe we'll come back to that dive, finish the other three half, because there's a wild scenario I want to get into there. And knowing Ken, then he would like us to talk about things that is, they're a little off color, let's say, in a good way. I say that lovingly. So we'll get into that perhaps in the future. More episodes coming this week. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys are all staying safe inside. Spending time with your families and everything right now. We'll talk to you soon on Locked On Cavs. Thanks for listening.